Superhuman Channel. Evolution just got kicked up a notch. The following paid program does not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the staff and management of Tri-Scepter Productions or the Superhuman Channel. Tri-Scepter Productions and the Superhuman Channel are not responsible for any claims, warranties, or guarantees made during this program.
Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled.
From the studio gym where excuses never apply.
It's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of Superhuman Radio. It's Monday. It's a brand new week in the studio. We're starting the week off with an exciting show. I attended the Arnold Sports Festival this weekend with my co-host, the lovely and talented Elise Profumo. With my broken toes, I spent the 3 days there on my feet, walking around the exhibit hall, meeting some of the listeners. I really appreciate those of you who reached out and wanted to get together. That was a lot of fun. Had a chance to spend a little time with Dr. Bob Goldman and was paid a very, very nice compliment by him. Apparently, he does listen to the show. He said that Superhuman Radio is setting new standards for talk radio as it relates to health and longevity. We're bringing science to the forefront that no one is talking about, and we're making it easy for people to understand and walk away with a prescription of what to do, how to use this new research. And I really appreciate that from Dr. Bob Goldman. He's always been a big supporter of the show. We have a great show planned for you today. During the first hour, we will be talking with Dr. Tom Levy, author of several fine books. The one we'll be talking about today is Curing the Incurable. And then later we'll be joined by University of Cincinnati researcher and scientist Dr. Randy Seeley to talk about the misled by macronutrients, research that suggests alternative diet design. And quite frankly, it's something we've been talking about on this show for over 8 years now, but the mainstream is finally starting to catch up with us. So this is going to be exciting. Dr. Tom Levy, welcome back to Superhuman Radio. How are you, sir?
Good. Glad to be here, Carl.
This is a really important discussion. One of the things that I find that is a phenomenon, and I have a feeling that you're going to agree with me when I say this, and that is that we are now in a time and place where just about everyone expects to develop some sort of disease. When we came from a time where disease was not expected. Today, it's almost like people figure, well, eventually I'm going to get a disease. Do you find that phenomenon almost uncomfortable and irking?
Well, yes, and really, to be brutally frank, I suppose, is as you get older and older, and I'm talking about in the 80s or even in the 90s, you're going to die from something. So, the old thing that they used to put on death certificates about dying of natural causes, that's humbug. Nobody dies of natural causes. Nobody has a body that's uninfected, functioning fine, and the heart just stops or the breathing just stops.
I'm so glad you said that.
There's an infection.
And quite frankly, and this is something that's caused me to read a lot of literature on cardiac function and heart failure more specifically. And that is because, as you so point out, if you did everything right with a human being, the way they should die is their heart should just stop. Just stop. That's it. But no one dies of that any longer because they die of diseases related to diabetes and obesity and everything that goes on the line. We don't die the way we were designed to die.
Yeah, no, that's pretty much true. Yes, sir.
Okay, so now let's talk about curing the incurable. What types of diseases do you talk about in the book?
Well, we talk about just about all the common and not so uncommonly known infectious diseases, the viral and bacterial diseases of childhood, as well as a wide variety of toxins, over 100 different toxins. And, of course, the whole point of the book is that, as incredible as it may seem, for people that don't understand the science behind it, this one simple little molecule can actually, in the case of the infections, cure virtually all the viral infections and in the case of the bacterial and other infections, usually stimulate the immune system well enough so that the body overcomes it. And when it comes to toxins, one-on-one, the vitamin C will neutralize any toxin against which it is opposed. This is because all toxins are pro-oxidant, and of course, vitamin C is the ultimate antioxidant.
Now, there are those out there who will say that while vitamin C is an important antioxidant, it's not the most important, and that it has to be recycled or recycle. But your research, and I know that you've spent an entire career on this, which proves that vitamin C is more critical than we think it is, right?
No, vitamin C is really, if you had to pick one thing, I'd say there's no question it's the most critical thing. That's because when your body stores are down to zero, you're going to rapidly get an infection and die. It's that simple. I don't think there's any other substance in the body that if you affected that dramatically, the effect on your health and immediate state of living would be as dramatically affected. You can take every supplement in the world, that if you take zero vitamin C supplementation and have zero vitamin C in your diet, you're going to be a sick person and you're going to die young. Conversely, if you take plenty of vitamin C, you may still get sick because you don't take enough of the other good things, but you'll live a much healthier, longer life.
Okay, now, it's important to mention this up front because I want to create fertile soil for people who are about to listen to this show. There is a faction of people out there who, as soon as they hear about vitamin C, they turn off to it because there was some research propagated quite some time ago that seemed to try to show that taking vitamin C could lead to kidney stones. Can you talk about this research up front so we can get it out of the way and move forward with some fertile soil here?
Yeah, sure. You know, it's interesting. Vitamin C plays a role in what's called oxalate production. And oxalate is a part of the most common form of kidney stones. However, a very common counterpart with it is calcium. Now, in my book, Curing the Incurable, I outlined at least 60 different documented factors that affect oxalate production and affect the proclivity to develop stones. Okay? Vitamin C is not really one of them. In fact, at this esteemed institution named Harvard, they did several studies in which they showed, number one, people that were taking substantial doses of vitamin C for many years, I believe in this particular study over 10 years, and we're talking about multi-gram doses of vitamin C, not only had no increased incidence of stones, it actually showed an increased propensity to dissolve stones that were already present.
Interesting.
This is because large amounts of vitamin C keeps calcium in solution. Another interesting point is pregnant women don't get kidney stones. That's not part of the picture. They're young women, healthy women. Well, guess what? There's something called a hyperoxalemia in pregnant women, and even though it's a very, very high level, it's not associated with kidney stones. So the whole idea that just addressing high oxalate levels addresses the issues of stones is really ridiculous. The final point I would make is stones always develop where there's a previous area of stress or inflammation. When you're taking large amounts of vitamin C, you pretty much remedy all such sources, and the stones don't even have a place upon which they can start to form.
Okay, now we've got that out of the way for those people out there who are concerned about vitamin C supplementation causing kidney stones. So now let's move on to something else that has always intrigued me. There are only two species on the planet that do not produce their own vitamin C, and that is us and guinea pigs. What happened during evolutionary selection pressure that either caused us not to or caused us to stop producing our own vitamin C?
Well, that's interesting, Carl. In the liver, in our liver, and the liver of most wild animals, there's a four-enzyme sequence that converts glucose into vitamin C, so that not only do you produce whatever vitamin C you need, you also have an inborn way to metabolize your glucose better and avoid diabetes, for example.
Right.
However, in humans, it's questionable if it's 100%, but it's close to 100%. Humans have a defect in the fourth enzyme, L-galonolactone oxidase. Now, when you have defects in this enzyme, you can't make the final conversion to vitamin C. And the thing that would suggest that this was a mutation in an evolutionary type of thing is that the mutation is what's called a point mutation. And geneticists all know that point mutations characteristically will, mutate back and forth. Okay, so there will be times in the evolutionary phase of humans where they might have produced some vitamin C and other times not. Finally, I would say they've done some extended vitamin C studies on people where they tried to induce scurvy. One old study, but very notable, was they tried to deprive six young people of vitamin C to the point that they became scorbutic, scurvy-like.
Right.
Well, after several months went by, four of the individuals were not spilling any vitamin C in the urine, and the other two seemed to be spilling lots of it. So this implied that there are a number of people, I can't tell you the percentage,
right,
probably greater than 1%, but less than 20%, who make limited amounts of vitamin C because
this
mutation is partially in their favor, and they're the ones that live healthiest with the least effort. Their grandpa that goes to 100 years old smoking his cigars.
Ah, interesting, interesting. Okay, we have to take a commercial break. When we come back, I want to pick it up about discussing some of the diseases that can be cured using vitamin C and the types of vitamin C's that should be used. We're talking this hour with Dr. Tom Levy. His book is Curing the Incurable, and you can go to peakenergy.com in the book section to learn more. Stay tuned. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. We'll be right back.
Time to improve your sex drive with the Female Libido Supplement Patch. The patch contains both DHEA and oxytocin hormones, revving up your passionate side and putting you in a relaxing, loving mood. The continuous 8-hour time-release delivery assures that you are ready for that planned or unexpected occasion. Don't wait to enhance your sex drive. Go to superhumanradio.com and click on the banner ad. That's superhumanradio.com and click on the banner ad.
New from Rob Ragish, author of the Blueprint at SHR's own Blueprint Power Hour, comes the Blueprint Bulletin. Every month, Rob delivers the absolute latest and greatest information right to your inbox. Everything's on the table, including training, diet, supplementation, gray market products, and more. This is a fantastic way to stay one step ahead of your competition and use these secrets to up your game. Go to theblueprintbulletin.com or click the Blueprint Bulletin banner ad on superhumanradio.com to get your free introductory issue. Go to theblueprintbulletin.com today.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
Save money and gain performance and health benefits with Whey Natural USA. They are overstocked and having a blowout sale on 2.5 pound jugs of grass-fed whey. This awesome product comes from Amish-fed cows inside the USA. Whey Natural USA is cold-processed through the patented Chill-Rite method and comes with only three ingredients: grass-fed whey protein concentrate, organic flavor, and stevia. Save big. Just click the Whey Natural USA banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Get a free sample plus a 15% discount with free shipping coupon product for the first 100 customers.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your questions. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn, teach, leave.
This time of year, it seems everyone's sick. You need to do everything you can to avoid it. A healthy immune system starts with a healthy lifestyle. This includes Altrian C. Altrian C delivers the vitamin C your body needs. In fact, Altrian delivers 200% more vitamin C than pills or powders. Go to AltrianC.com. That's AltrianC.com. It even comes with a money-back guarantee. For vitamin C that actually gets absorbed, go to AltriantC.com or call 888-437-6353 to order. That's 888-437-6353. Altriant C, 21st Century Vitamin C.
Build muscle, burn fat. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking with Dr. Tom Levy. We're talking about his book, Curing the Incurable. We had you on once before, Dr. Levy, where we talked about cardiovascular disease and fibrosis, fibrotic tissue, and how vitamin C acts upon it and can actually reverse some of these diseases. I think it's interesting now, the discussion changes slightly, and we are really talking today about the types of infectious diseases that were once thought to be incurable. And your contention is that there is enough literature, enough of a body of evidence out there that vitamin C can mitigate some of these diseases. Why aren't more people getting this message to begin with, do you think?
Well, I have a few theories, but let me first say, you know, it's not really a contention on my part. This is in the literature. And the articles are cited in the book, and any motivated person can go to PubMed and see the information for themselves. So unless thousands of people or thousands of researchers are bold-faced lying, it's not a contention, it's
right.
A fact.
Okay. Now, I stand corrected.
Why is that not paid attention to? Well, all I can tell you is my experience with doctors, which has been extensive, I might add, is that once they finish med school, once they finish their training, they're so busy, they really don't remotely spend enough time not only keeping up with the literature, but looking at things that might be of interest, but again, they just don't have the time. Then you combine this with what I call the sacred icon, which is the textbook of medicine. The textbook of medicine, usually Harrison's or Cecil's textbook of medicines, are extensively written, have about 3,000 pages each, and have medicine broken down into several hundred subcategories. But the interesting thing here, Carl, is each category is written by only one and maybe two authors, which means any given subject, one or two people is going to write something that's going to be adopted as gospel in the medical school without any question.
And they can have biases, obviously.
Not only they can have biases, but if they're completely ignorant of the fact, for example, of vitamin C, which in these textbooks you would assume that they are ignorant of it because there's no mention of it, it's not there. And then even if you get enlightened people down the line to write the current edition of the textbook of medicine for a given subject, what do they start with? They start with the person's previous section 4 or 5 years earlier. And they don't do the historical research necessary to see what's going on.
Okay. And I'll tell you something else. I am a huge proponent of critical thinking skills when looking at science that doesn't make sense. I tell my audience, and we all practice critical thinking skills, and if things don't seem to be right, I say then believe that it's not right. And quite often, the research that comes out about pharmaceutical drugs, I tend to disbelieve because there are profits and big motivations to push these things. But things like vitamin C, which have no patentability, they tend, in my humble opinion, the research tends to be a bit more altruistic because no one stands to benefit from this research. No big pharmaceutical giant is standing in the wings looking to launch the new billion-dollar pharmaceutical drug. So I tend to believe the research on vitamin C to a greater degree. Well, let's put it this way. I give it a greater gravity than I do, let's say, the research that comes out as a result of some new molecule a pharmaceutical company is promoting. Do you think that that is naive of me?
No, no, not at all. I think that's spot on. What I would also say that I think affects why this information pretty much doesn't come to light any more than it does is the average doctor, the average scientist, the average professionally trained person is ingrained to believe that there's a block of fixed knowledge out there, and if he or she sees something that doesn't seem to be consistent, rather than give their own brain credit for approaching and analyzing the problem, they say to themselves, well, hundreds of thousands or millions of doctors and scientists have come before me, and they must have seen the same thing, so there mustn't be anything to it.
Yeah, interesting. Very, very interesting. All right, so let's talk about the types of diseases that you talk about in the book. Give me some examples of diseases, and then give me some examples of how vitamin C has affected them.
Well, let's see. As a laundry list, polio was completely curable by injectable vitamin C.
Really?
Viral hepatitis, measles, mumps, even viral encephalitis with people that were in a coma already, chickenpox and herpes infections, viral pneumonia, all these have been shown to be curable. Many others have been shown to be preventable, such as a wide variety of staphylococcal infections, streptococcal infections.
What about something like MRSA, MRSA, that's widespread in hospitals today? Do you think that high doses of vitamin C play a role in perhaps either protecting or treating MRSA?
Well, no question. MRSA, which is methicillin-resistant staphylococcus, or streptococcus.
Streptococcus.
Streptococci, especially those that are associated with rheumatic fever, are exquisitely sensitive to vitamin C. So I have no doubts in my mind at all that if the doctors in the hospitals ever eased up a little bit and let people either dose themselves with vitamin C orally, like with liposomes, or get intravenous vitamin C, which gets it straight into the blood, this would be a clinical entity of historical value only.
Okay, so if someone was going to use vitamin C as a prophylactic, to say, to avoid some of these contagious issues, these diseases, the stuff that they buy at the store, at the grocery store, on the wall at Walgreens, for instance, these pressed powdered tablets, are they sufficient?
Well, they're good. They're definitely better than nothing. And over the years, they've taken care of a lot of problems and disorders and infections quite effectively for very many people. However, having said that, they don't usually have optimal amounts of vitamin C, and the form in which they're in, bound inside tightly with tablets, they don't have the bioavailability. So we have forms now that get absorbed almost completely, and rather than just dump the vitamin C in the blood, as in the case with liposomes, they go directly and get the vitamin C inside the cells. So there are definitely more efficient ways to take vitamin C, and vitamin C that you can take that will more reliably address the situation that you're concerned with.
Okay, so I take a liposomal vitamin C product that is made by one of our sponsors, and that's Altrient. And it comes in these little pouches. I believe it's 1,000 milligrams per pouch in a liposomal vehicle. So how many of those should I be taking a day if I'm just taking vitamin? I have no apparent symptoms. I just want to take vitamin C to have adequate amounts of vitamin C in my body to prevent anything from happening.
Well, most people that have no significant toxicity, and toxicity is pro-oxidant and it consumes vitamin C and other antioxidants, most people that aren't very toxic, don't have a lot of dental toxicity, and do not have any root canal-treated teeth, and they believe themselves to be in a state of good health, 1 to 2 packets a day is going to take care of the vitamin C needs quite nicely. As you start to have different chronic degenerative diseases that are all characterized by increased oxidative stress in the various tissues and cells of the body, your need for vitamin C rises if you want to deal with those diseases and stay feeling good.
Vitamin C also plays a role on lipoprotein production, does it not?
Vitamin C, Like HDL, LDL?
LDL.
Well, as you take less and less or you get into a vitamin C deficiency, people characteristically will make more or have higher levels of the LDL cholesterol, which has been long time statistically connected with increased atherosclerosis and coronary artery disease, yes.
Okay, so this is another, yet another reason that vitamin C may be beneficial to people. And now, is liposomal vitamin C, given the fact that intravenous vitamin C obviously is not the most convenient thing, you have to go to a physician to have this done, is liposomal vitamin C as effective, or is there no replacement for intravenous vitamin C?
No, I wouldn't say that. My experience, and it's pretty extensive, has been that for acute viral infections, it's important to say acute and important to say viral. For acute viral, cold, flu, you name it, oral liposome encapsulated vitamin C I found to be as or even more effective than IV vitamin C.
Really?
Now, for other chronic degenerative diseases, long-term chronic infections, IV assumes an increasing importance. And finally, I would say, if economics and access to an appropriate physician is not a problem and you're dealing with a substantial health problem, the more you can take of the more different types of vitamin C, the better. So that would include liposome encapsulated orally, intravenous intermittently, and fat-soluble forms of vitamin C like ascorbyl palmitate, and even taking oral sodium ascorbate to the point that you have what's called a C-flush and you clean the toxins out of your gut. All of those things can play a significant role in getting the vitamin C level inside your tissues and cells to the point that you could deal with chronic diseases.
And so, and this is an important distinction because this is something we're learning about even minerals like magnesium, for instance, that serum levels may not be indicative of cellular levels, and cellular levels are where the magic is. And a moment ago, you said that liposomal vitamin C seems to, has the ability to increase cellular levels of vitamin C. Is that correct? Did I understand you right?
Yes, intracellular levels. So the liposomes have ways of penetrating the cell walls without consuming energy. That's important. Without consuming energy and getting the active, which is the reduced form of vitamin C level inside the cell elevated. Yes.
Okay. We're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to pick it up. We're talking with Dr. Thomas Levy. Right now, we're talking about how vitamin C may protect you against diseases. You can go to peakenergy.com. And you can learn more by going to the book section about this wonderful book, Curing the Incurable. There are a lot of people out there with diseases looking for answers. This may be the one for them. Check it out. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio.
I usually avoid protein bars because they're generally just candy in disguise. But that's all changed now. With Quest protein bars, we can enjoy dessert again without the guilt. With 20 grams of whey isolate protein, tons of prebiotic fiber, no sugar added, and only 2 to 6 grams of active carbohydrates per bar, Quest bars will keep you full and lean. I've never endorsed a protein bar before because I simply didn't trust them. That's all changed with the Quest bar. Not just because of what's in them, but more so for what's not. Go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad. Start enjoying dessert again.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. WiseChoiceMedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
This time of year, it seems everyone's sick. You need to do everything you can to avoid it. A healthy immune system starts with a healthy lifestyle. This includes Altrient C. Altrient C delivers the vitamin C your body needs. In fact, Altrient delivers 200% more vitamin C than pills or powders. Go to AltrientC.com. That's AltrientC.com. It even comes with a money-back guarantee. For vitamin C that actually gets absorbed, go to AltrientC.com or call 888-437-6353 to order. That's 888-437-6353. Altrient C,
21st century vitamin C.
My friends are always asking me what I do to keep my face so youthful and fresh looking. I use RGCell Super Stem Cell Support. RGCell is the only cosmeceutical with penetrating anti-aging messenger molecules that activate old and dormant stem cells to restore your skin to a healthier, younger appearance. This helps to repair DNA, stimulate new cell growth, and aggressively eliminate wrinkles. You can learn more by visiting superhumanradio.com and clicking the RGCell banner ad today.
Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now, Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the products you're shopping for, and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else?
Have you ever been let down by so-called nitric oxide muscle pump products before? Well, prepare to be shocked. Vengeance is like nothing you've ever tried before. Vengeance leverages several different scientifically proven technologies to deliver what some users say are painfully explosive pumps. If you're satisfied with nitric oxide products that make you wonder if they're working, move on. But if you want a muscle pump that you'll not only feel, but others will see, train with a vengeance. Go to xfmuscle.com today and get vengeance.
Listen strong. It's Superhuman Radio.
I want to read something. This is from the Journal of Orthomolecular Medicine. I believe, wasn't that the organization that was started by Linus Pauling, Dr. Levy?
Well, Dr. Pauling started the concept of orthomolecular medicine, which means, you know, taking natural products in the right amounts. I don't believe he founded the society, but okay. It's founded on his principles.
They reviewed the book. They said, Dr. Levy's book presents clear evidence that vitamin C cures diseases. It contains over 1,200 scientific references presented chapter by chapter. It does not mince words. It is disease-specific. It is dose-specific. It is practical. It is reliable. It is excellent. Really, really nice write-up. Okay, so let's talk about something that you mentioned a moment ago, herpes. If someone has herpes, can vitamin C keep it in remission indefinitely, or can it reverse it? How does it affect the herpes virus?
Well, it depends on the type of herpes infection. In the case of acute herpes infections in childhood, chickenpox, parenteral or intravenous or injectable vitamin C can resolve the syndrome in just a few days without any extensive lesions or scarring or pustules. On the other hand, when people that are older who had the chickenpox virus when they were young and still have it in their body, and then lo and behold, they have to deal with some stress, and next thing they know, they've popped out with shingles or herpes virus lesions along their ribs, highly painful.
Right.
Again, injectable vitamin C and other forms of vitamin C will resolve this syndrome very quickly and give people that would normally have hurt for weeks to months complete pain relief in 36 to 48 hours.
Wow.
Fever blisters and all.
Right.
All I can tell you is my experience has been when these people get treated with high enough doses for enough days, they no longer have remission. They no longer have relapses or outbreaks. But as far as I know, there's no test that you can be done that can confirm the herpes virus is no longer in the body. You can just say there's no longer outbreaks occurring.
Okay. Now, this is an important one. Herpes zoster, you just mentioned, which is called shingles, is a big segment of the pharmaceutical industry today. There's lots of drugs being sold for people who have reoccurring herpes zoster. If someone had had an outbreak of shingles at some point in their lives and they said, well, you know what, I'm going to give this vitamin C a try, and they had access to something like liposomal vitamin C, what kind of dose would they take on a day-in, day-out basis in order to avoid an outbreak?
Well, I'd put it this way. If they were in the middle of an outbreak, taking 4 or 5 packets, 4 or 5 grams a day for a week, in my opinion, would probably resolve it completely. And once resolved, it's a good assumption that the virus is now out of the body and just going back to the 1 to 2 packets a day that I talked with you about earlier.
Right.
Maintenance is fine if they don't have any other chronic degenerative diseases using up their vitamin C stores.
Okay, now let's move on to something equally critical. And we're all in a quandary. Very few of us who listen to the show get the flu vaccine. However, you point out in the book that the right doses of vitamin C may actually prevent people from getting the flu. Is that correct?
Oh, yeah, no question about it. But the nice thing about vitamin C is when it comes to acute viral syndromes, which is almost the entire range of indications, quote-unquote, for vaccines of any type, but certainly for flu, for viral circumstances, we have plenty of evidence that just immediately jumping on it with intravenous, with liposomal, you'll resolve the situation very quickly. And if you take the type of maintenance dose that we're talking about, odds are you'll never get it. But even if you do have a big exposure and you still get it while you're on a small maintenance dose of vitamin C, you can jack up the dose and rapidly resolve it. Also, if you would get the disease, even if you resolve it with vitamin C, you'll get a nice, strong, natural immunity for any recurrences of the same bug.
Okay, now, here's another one, and I get emails from people in the audience constantly about this one. Many of us have children or are having children, and we are always conflicted with the possibility of introducing things like mercury from thimerosal, aluminum, and so on in the form of vaccines, especially the earliest vaccines. The diphtheria, pertussis, tetanus, tuberculosis vaccine, I believe it is, that is given to a baby within the first days of its life, has been linked to sudden infant death syndrome, or SIDS, in children because of how it affects serotonin levels in the brain for a short period of time after the injection is given. Is it reckless of a parent to say, I'm not going to vaccinate, but I'm going to give liposomal vitamin C to my baby?
I don't think it's reckless at all. I think it's called love and care and concern for your child's welfare. There are very few things that drive me crazier than the concept of vaccination and the clear damage that's done by vaccinations in terms of attention deficit disorders and the autism, and the list goes on and on. And while pediatricians and doctors can actually look at this and deny that it's happening and that it's increasing in incidence, just absolutely boggles my mind and makes me question their basic ability to think logically.
Yeah. You know what? It's funny you bring that up, because many years ago I started to ask physician friends of mine, how do you resolve with the idea that a drug that you're using carries risks that may be worse than the supposed disease or illness that you're treating?
Good way to put it.
You know, how do you, I mean, you know, I know that we've abandoned some of Hippocrates' edicts, you know, let food be thy medicine. No one pays attention to that one any longer. But what about the one about first do no harm? How can anything be counter to that one edict than the complete pharmaceutical agenda today, where these drugs, when you hear a TV spot for a pharmaceutical drug today, the first 15, I challenge anybody to prove this wrong. The first 10 to 15 seconds talk about what a great drug it is. The balance of the spot talks about all of the dangers and side effects. And then the last 3 seconds goes, talk to your doctor about such and such today. It's like, you mean to tell me that this thing is so wonderful that you have to dedicate 80% of the commercial warning people about how dangerous it is, and only 20% of the commercial telling them about the benefits of it? It's really, really scary to me. Really, really scary.
No, I'm afraid that your comment about the adage, physician, do no harm, sad to say, that's of historical value only. That's part of medicine history, and it's not, I emphasize, not the way medicine is commonly practiced today.
Dr. Tom, what about radiation? There are people that are going to undergo chemotherapy, is it true that vitamin C may offer some sort of chemoprotective or radiation protective benefits to those people?
Absolutely, and this is extensively documented in the book as well, along with the references. But the basic concept is that all forms of radiation damage do their damage by increasing oxidative stress in the tissues that are irradiated. So if you irradiate something, I mean, if you feel that's the way you have to kill a cancer and not use some other excellent ways of dealing with it, but if you're going to go ahead and get radiation to kill your cancer, then immediately follow the radiation with very large doses of vitamin C for an extended period of time, and you can repair the normal cells that have been damaged by the radiation while the radiation goes ahead and kills the cancer cells because it jacks their oxidative stress up so high that they rupture and necrose and die.
Interesting. Okay. Now, a couple of, I want to try to hit some of these topics quickly before we go into the break. Many of us, like myself, still drink red wine from time to time. Alcohol, obviously, is not a good thing. I admit on this show that I drink alcohol because of its drug-like effects, not because I believe it has any kind of health benefits. In fact, quite the opposite. Does vitamin C pose any special benefit for me because I like to have the occasional drink of alcohol?
That's interesting because, you know, it's sort of funny, but it's true. The only problem you're going to have with taking larger doses of vitamin C and having your wine or other alcoholic beverage is it's going to take so much more to get the buzz that you might be looking for. So when you're getting the sensation of feeling mellow or feeling buzzed or disequilibrated or however you want to call it, it's because of the toxic effects that the alcohol is having and the products that are being formed in the liver.
Right.
And you take enough vitamin C, you don't get that anymore. I sort of discovered that the hard way when I was looking to have a certain effect, and all my other friends were just blitzed out of their minds at a party, and I'm saying, I'm drinking as much as they are, and I feel great. And then I had what they call a duh moment, and I said, well, good grief, you're taking the antidote the whole time.
Interesting. That's really, really interesting. Okay, our last commercial break. Stay with me, Dr. Levy. We're talking with Dr. Tom Levy. We're talking right now and trying to cover as many of these topics as possible about vitamin C and its effects on disease. You know, it's amazing. It's the simple things that are right in front of us that we forget about because we're always looking for something exotic as the next reason for the season. Vitamin C continues to be foundational supplement and should be a foundational supplement in your regimen too. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio.
Get down, girl. Go ahead. Get down. Get down, girl. Go ahead.
This time of year, it seems everyone's sick. You need to do everything you can to avoid it. A healthy immune system starts with a healthy lifestyle. This includes Altrient C. Altrient C delivers the vitamin C your body needs. In fact, Altrient delivers 200% more vitamin C than pills or powders. Go to AltriantC.com. That's AltriantC.com. It even comes with a money-back guarantee. For vitamin C that actually gets absorbed, go to AltriantC.com or call 888-437-6353 to order. That's 888-437-6353. Altrient C, 21st Century Vitamin C.
Save money and gain performance and health benefits with Whey Natural USA. They are overstocked and having a blowout sale on 2.5-pound jugs of grass-fed whey. This awesome product comes from Amish-fed cows inside the USA. Whey Natural USA is cold-processed through the patented Chill-Rite method and comes with only three ingredients, grass-fed whey protein concentrate, organic flavor, and stevia. Save big. Just click the Whey Natural USA banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Get a free sample plus a 15% discount with free shipping coupon product for the first 100 customers. You train hard. You push the limits of your body every day, and sometimes pain pushes back. Now silence your pain with Phoenix Kinetocream. Kinetocream is made using a perfect blend of natural ingredients and reduces inflammation and shuts down pain with its very first use. Listen to what one user said about Phoenix Kinetocream.
Training made me ache. My back, my shoulders, even my elbows. I rub Kinetocream on my shoulders, and in minutes, I could feel the pain go away, not covered up by that freezing feeling like other creams. The pain was gone.
You can learn more about Kinetocream by visiting PhoenixBioPerformance.com. Don't let pain slow you down. Rise above the ashes with Phoenix Kinetocream. That's PhoenixBioPerformance.com.
No other peptide supplier has a more complete offering than Southern Research Companies. And no other peptide supplier can boast that all their research peptides are manufactured inside the United States in Tier 1 labs. Whether you're looking for IGF-1 Long R3, GHRP6, GHRP2, Melanotan 2, Mechanogrowth Factor, or PT141, or or hard-to-find peptides like triptorelin or follistatin, you'll find them at Southern Research Companies. Free shipping on orders over $150. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Southern Research banner ad today and do business with the most trusted name in research peptides, Southern Research Companies.
If you want to outlast, outmuscle, and outperform your competition with a high-powered, stimulant-free carbohydrate source that has zero sugars, you want Carbolin. Carbolin is the original high-performance fuel that will allow you to load your muscles with glycogen in minutes instead of hours. As a pre, intra, and post-training supplement, it will give you a hardness and fullness to your muscles like you've never felt before. As an endurance supplement, Carbolin has been proven to increase VO2 max by 2.8%. If you want fast absorption and sustained energy without bloating or cramping, get Carbolin. Go to AAEFX.com today. Guys and gals, are you over 30 with a poor sex drive, gaining unwanted fat, or feel weak or tired? You may be suffering from hormone imbalances that can be treated affordably by physician-supervised hormone therapy. Why wait to feel like you again? Call Core Medical Group now to schedule your hormone check and save $100 when you mention Superhuman Radio. Call 617-869-7961. That's 617-869-7961. Physical and medical history required prior to therapy. Some restrictions apply. Call for details, 617-869-7961. Feel like you again.
Jumping higher, lifting more. It's Superhuman Radio.
And a little bit later in the show, we're going to be joined by Dr. Randy Seeley from the University of Cincinnati as we discuss, are you misled by macronutrients? His group has done some research, and it suggests an alternative approach to diet design. And it's actually something everybody's going to like because it's something we've been talking about here and we practice here in the Superhuman Nation. I have a question from Kelly. I want to try to field it first, and then I'm going to ask you, Dr. Levy, to critique me, okay?
Alrighty.
Kelly wants to know why liposomal vitamin C is better than just the stuff that she can buy at the grocery store. Now, I want to say this, and I want to say all forms of vitamin C being equal. Let's say using the same form of vitamin C in a pressed tablet versus a liposomal delivery. Liposomal delivery is similar to transdermal delivery, except with some minor differences. Like transdermal delivery, the liposomes actually encapsulate the vitamin C molecules. They act like a Trojan horse, so because the body will absorb these liposomes through the lymphatic system, and they're friendly. So the body goes, oh, this is great stuff. Let's pull it in and let's send it right into the bloodstream. So this Trojan horse approach allows you to encapsulate things and get them into the body easily. So it's much better than something that's digested in the stomach, attacked by the acids in the stomach, and then it undergoes first pass liver degradation and is flushed out of the blood. How close am I, Dr. Levy?
Well, good on those points. I would add, perhaps even more importantly for this person to understand, is that when it's in the blood and liposomes, it's not active yet. It's not active because it's still encapsulated in the liposome, and the liposome is very tiny and allows it to go inside the cell, penetrate the cell wall, or actually be picked up into the cell wall like a claw, and it goes inside, and then it opens up, and the vitamin C is delivered in its active form, but very importantly, without consuming energy. Even when you take vitamin C intravenously, a large amount of the vitamin C, perhaps a majority, gets absorbed inside cells in its oxidized state, and once it gets inside the cell, you need the antioxidants inside the cell to recharge the vitamin C back to its active state. So it's, if you will, robbing Peter to pay Paul. You're using energy up to get an energy-bearing substance where you want it. And that's perhaps the most important thing about liposome products, which is why 5 grams, in my opinion, can have the same impact as 50 grams intravenously on what we talked about earlier, an acute viral syndrome. It's because it gets it inside the cell, and it doesn't consume energy in the process.
You know what? Before, when you said it doesn't consume energy, I really didn't pay attention. I thought, well, that's nice. I didn't realize what you meant was it doesn't become oxidized before it's used in the delivery system, in the delivery of it. Now I understand what you mean now. That's amazing to me. I didn't realize.
Well, the other thing, too, is even when the vitamin C is unencapsulated, normal, in the blood, if it's in the reduced state, the active state, you need an active uptake mechanism to get it inside the cell, which again consumes energy.
So that oxidizes the C. And it oxidizes the C.
Right.
Okay, so that leads me to this next question. There is a lot of talk about antioxidants becoming prooxidants. Is that when vitamin C becomes a prooxidant, when it requires energy to be absorbed and becomes oxidized?
Well, any antioxidant is prooxidant momentarily after it gives up its electrons. The important thing that differentiates an oxidized antioxidant from, let's say, a toxin is an oxidized antioxidant or prooxidant will take electrons from other antioxidants and keep them moving. A toxin, on the other hand, once it takes electrons in, it doesn't give them up. It holds on to them, and so it stops electron flow. So the antioxidant, prooxidant, yin-yang of vitamin C keeps electrons flowing through the body and the tissues. When you put toxins in there, which are also prooxidant, they take up electrons, and they don't pass them along. They take onto them and hold them, and holding the electrons, stopping the electron flow, is what causes disease.
Okay, is there an antioxidant that should be consumed also with vitamin C so that it has that replenishing effect, or is vitamin C adequate by itself?
Well, as a single supplement, it's the most important, but it's good to take in general a balance of antioxidants, the most important ones being the vitamin C and the proper forms of vitamin E. Very important to take vitamin D because there's no really good way, unless you stay out in the sun a lot, to get your vitamin D where it needs to be without it, and a broad spectrum of the B vitamins.
Yeah.
Now, having said that, it's important to understand that all good supplements are only beneficial because of the fact that they have an antioxidant function. So every good supplement is antioxidant, but the most important ones are the ones I just mentioned.
Okay. How much vitamin C do you take, Dr. Levy, and in what form do you take it, just out of curiosity?
I take anywhere from 3 to 8 grams of regular vitamin C, of sodium ascorbate, and I take a couple packets of the liposome encapsulated vitamin C a day. That's my general vitamin C intake.
Okay, and how long does it take for people to achieve the, let's say, optimal blood levels of vitamin C if they're taking a liposomally delivered vitamin C? Is it something that happens spontaneously, or do you have to do it over time before you start seeing the benefits of it?
Well, no, it moves through the body pretty quick, so it means if you take a lot of it, you'll get your levels where you need them to be. But very important to remember, and it's a big discussion beyond what we can talk about here, is if your toxin levels are high in your body, like with root canal treated teeth, you can't take enough vitamin C to get it to the disease protecting levels. But if you don't have a lot of toxicity present, just taking a few grams of liposome encapsulated or 10 or 15 grams of regular vitamin C, and you'll have your levels where they need to be. But if you stop taking the vitamin C, they'll be down again the next day.
Okay. And so it's safe to assume that most of us are bombarded by toxins of some sort just in the environment, unless we live off the grid somewhere in the mountains and we're away from everything. So even in today's environment, you think just a couple grams a day of liposomally delivered vitamin C should be adequate for the average person?
For the average person without major toxic challenges. I mean, it's highly variable. If you take whatever you're supplementing, you should do with the guidance of an open-minded doc who can not only look at you and examine you, but he or she can also track critical laboratory tests to see that they're either staying in the normal range or that abnormal blood works are being normalized.
And when you say staying in the normal range, you mean vitamin C levels? You mean the things that vitamin C is acting upon?
No, the regular blood chemistry, your glucose level, your cholesterol level, all of these things are affected by vitamin C, and when you don't have a lot of antioxidants in your body, they get way out of whack, and when you take enough antioxidants, and there's no other critical toxins involved, they'll come into the normal range.
Okay, last question, and that is, it's well understood that vitamin C plays a role in glucose metabolism. As such, when you go for a glucose challenge test or tolerance test, the doctor may inform you in that little sheet not to take any vitamin C the morning of the test because it can actually prolong the glucose being present in the bloodstream artificially. So with that being said, does vitamin C, and especially these liposomally delivered vitamin C forms, play a special role in the aiding the type 2 diabetic or that person who is starting to become insulin resistant?
No, I don't believe there's any question. I mean, yes, I don't believe there's any question of that. The thing about vitamin C is it competes with glucose for the same receptors to get inside the cell. So if you have a diabetic person, you get a lot less of the negative impact of excess glucose getting into the cell with the presence of vitamin C going in. So there's also an extensive section on this with documentation in the literature that's in one of the other books, Stop America's Number One Killer, for the reason that I wrote that.
Last question, another one that's coming to me on Facebook. Troy is saying, would the benefits of vitamin C supplementation be enhanced by taking the R form of alpha-lipoic acid, and if so, how?
Well, alpha-lipoic acid is another important antioxidant, and as I mentioned earlier, all good nutrients that have a positive effect at the molecular level are doing so because it's an antioxidant function.
Right.
So alpha-lipoic acid is one of the more quality antioxidants out there, so any two antioxidants are going to be synergistic, but you just don't want to neglect the vitamin C because it's sort of the pivotal one, at least outside the body, and glutathione, the pivotal one inside the cells.
Yeah, yeah. And we're going to be doing a show on liposomal glutathione very shortly. The audience needs to get ready for this one because we have some exciting stuff coming up in the next few weeks. All right, listen, Dr. Levy, I want to thank you so much for making time to come on the show today. Dr. Levy's website is peakenergy.com. You can go there and learn more about his books. This book in particular, Curing the Incurable, if you have somebody in your family that is suffering, this book may be just what they need. Dr. Levy, thanks for being on the show today.
My pleasure, Carl. Thank you for having me.
All right, stay tuned. When we come back, we're going to have Dr. Randy Seely on from the University of Cincinnati, and we're going to start talking about maybe a new way to look at creating the optimal human diet. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now, Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the products you're shopping for and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else?
Guys and gals, are you over 30 with a poor sex drive, gaining unwanted fat, or feel weak or tired? You may be suffering from hormone imbalances that can be treated affordably by physician-supervised hormone therapy. Why wait to feel like you again? Call Core Medical Group now to schedule your hormone check and save $100 when you mention Superhuman Radio. Call 617-869-7961. That's 617-869-7961. Physical and medical history required prior to therapy. Some restrictions apply. Call for details, 617-869-7961. Feel like you again.
No other peptide supplier has a more complete offering than Southern Research Companies. And no other peptide supplier can boast that all their research peptides are manufactured inside the United States in Tier 1 labs. Whether you're looking for IGF-1 Long R3, GHRP6, GHRP2, Melanotan 2, Growth Factor, or PT-141, or hard-to-find peptides like Triptorelin or Follistatin, you'll find them at Southern Research Companies. Free shipping on orders over $150. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Southern Research banner ad today and do business with the most trusted name in research peptides, Southern Research Companies.
Superhuman Radio has the smartest and most dedicated health and fitness listeners found anywhere in the world. If you're trying to tap this market of greater than 50 million health fitness consumers, you simply can't do better than advertising on Superhuman Radio. Our sponsors tell us Superhuman Radio outperforms other forms of advertising time and time again. If you're tired of wasting valuable advertising dollars and need a new way to build your client base, go to superhumanradio.com and click on the Advertise with Us link. It just may be the best thing you have ever done for your business. True Protein is now TrueNutrition.com. The company that gave you personalized protein blends has now expanded their offerings to include over 5,000 new products. Whether your interests are health and fitness, sports nutrition and supplements, or fitness gear and accessories, you'll find what you're looking for at TrueNutrition.com. Check out the new vegetarian and vegan product lines as well. Oh, and don't worry, you can still blend your own personal protein supplements with a full range of milk, whey, casein, beef, egg, rice, and soy proteins. Check out TrueNutrition.com today.
Ladies, it's time to improve your sex drive with the Female Libido Supplement Patch. The patch contains both DHEA and oxytocin hormones, revving up your passionate side and putting you in a relaxing, loving mood. The continuous 8-hour time-release delivery assures that you are ready for that planned or unexpected occasion. Don't wait to enhance your sex drive. Go to superhumanradio.com and click on the banner ad. That's superhumanradio.com and click on the banner ad.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. We're ripped and we're ready.
It's your boy DJ Grandmaster Flash, first DJ to make the turntables an instrument, and I want to say welcome you and yours to my DJ set on DJ Hero. Let's
wow.
go, baby, let's go!
That's a lot to say. Grandmaster Flash, I remember him when I was in college. I'm dating myself now. Okay, welcome back to Superhuman Radio. I was just sucking a pouch of Altrient C, vitamin C, into my mouth and swallowing it. In honor of Dr. Levy's show. Okay, so now we change the discussion ever so slightly. We're joined now by Dr. Randy Seeley from the University of Cincinnati. How you doing, Dr. Seeley?
I'm doing great. I'm happy to be here, Carl.
Yeah, it's exciting. And we had a near miss. You were supposed to be on, but you were traveling abroad, and you know how that goes. But anyway, we're going to be talking today about this research paper that you published recently, Misled by Macronutrients. Research suggests alternative to diet design. First of all, why did you even start looking at this?
Well, we've been trying to understand and give people information about what they should eat. How much fat, how much protein, how much carb they should consume.
Right.
And everybody in your audience will know that you get lots of different versions of that advice depending on who you listen to.
That's right.
And which latest research piece is trying to tout what causes obesity, diabetes, what promotes more health. And we always thought that was wrongheaded, that what we really need is to understand not just what the macronutrients are that are in our diet, but what are the micronutrients? What is the kinds of proteins, the amino acids, the fatty acids, the different carbohydrates, and how they interact with our body in order to either make us healthier or less healthy, depending on what we consume.
Well, and now let's talk about that. There's an emerging discipline of science called metabolomics. A very, very exciting area of research, of science. Are you familiar with it at all?
Absolutely.
Okay.
We certainly spend a lot of our time thinking about how we make these measurements of all the different things that come from food and the processes of our metabolism.
And with my small brain, I'm going to attempt to distill down what metabolomics is. It's the study of how food interacts with the body in almost the way medicine does, in that, you know, food is not, all proteins are not created equal depending on their amino acid profile. All fats aren't created equal. I mean, what we're learning now and what many of us have suspected, and your group is actually bravely saying, hey, look here, guys, is that, you know what? Some foods react differently in the body and cause different hormonal cascades, and some foods do different. It's so much more complex than we want to believe it is, isn't it?
Yeah, it's complex in the sense that our body is listening to our food, and it's not just listening to what we eat in terms of, again, like you said, the fat and the protein and the carb, is listening to the detailed elements of which amino acids and which fatty acids. And it listens to it via receptors. So on different tissues, you have receptors whose job it is to find and recognize what nutrients you're consuming. So that was the analogy here. It's like a hormone. The food that you eat is like a hormone. A hormone is a substance that's made in one part of your body, travels through the blood, and turns on or off receptors in different parts of your body.
Yeah, messengers, right? They're messengers, basically.
Absolutely.
Hormones are okay. The only issue that I can take, and I want to get this out of the way up front because it's not a big deal, but the only issue that I can take that I hope you integrate into future research was the first sentence in the press release, and that was, the search for the perfect diet, one that promotes weight loss and optimal health, has left many people empty-handed. And here's the thing, just the way you are recognizing that there is a complex response to foods, specific to different types of foods. Not all meats, not all animal fleshes act the same way, not all things do the same thing in the body. This notion that weight loss is the objective must be eradicated. We must start to say, and it's a little bit more of a mouthful, but we must say that promotes the acquisition or maintenance of lean body mass with the reduction in fat mass. We have to get that message across because lean body mass is good. It's metabolic currency. And losing weight is not a good thing. Ask any cancer patient. You know, I don't want that kind of weight loss, okay? So that's the one thing I just want to say.
Let me agree with you right up front. We always say weight loss, but I can tell you what we really mean is reducing body fat. Okay. And if that comes with also us helping to increase lean tissue mass, all the better, and there's no doubt about it that body composition is what matters most in terms of your health outcome, not exactly what's on the scale. And everybody in your audience will already know this, that the BMI, what we use to delineate what is overweight and what is obese, is a very poor measure because it doesn't tell us about how much body fat you have.
That's right.
And lots of folks who are in very good health, are in really good shape, have BMIs that are in the overweight category. But that's
right.
Just not, but that's not a risk factor for them.
Yeah.
What matters is the body fat. And it matters where the body fat is. So, body fat that is inside your viscera, inside your muscle wall, in around your organs, is much worse than body fat that's in your subcutaneous region. So
it matters a lot. And the body is so intelligent. I just want to throw this in here. It has nothing to do with the discussion, but do you know that there was a research paper done several months ago on people who undergo liposuction multiple times, where they have a pretty considerable amount of body fat removed through liposuction. The body corrects this problem by increasing visceral fat. It says, you know what? It says, you know what? I'm going to put this someplace you can't get it anymore. So you know what? These things happen for reasons. But, okay, let's move on to the discussion at hand.
I want to hit that point because you're making a really good point because when we remove fat in that way by just trying to do it surgically, two things are happening. One is you don't improve people's health.
Right.
So just getting rid of the fat, particularly subcutaneous fat, doesn't make people healthier. It doesn't help their diabetes, their cardiovascular disease, and such. And the second point that you make is really important. Body weight, body fat, is a regulated parameter. It's not random. And so when you try to get rid of it, your body does work back to add more body fat in other places. And you may like where it puts it even less than where they took it away from. And that's something that the plastic surgeons aren't often advertising.
Well, it's okay. So just to expand on that for a second, I was at the Arnold Sports Festival this weekend talking with a couple listeners, and I said that this new love affair with the hyper leanness, everybody wants to be 2-3% body fat. They want to look like these TV commercials. I said may in fact be as dangerous as obesity. And so someone said, "Well, what do you mean?" And I said, "Well, there's no research being done on this, but there's lots of anecdotal evidence that people who spend a long period of time in that, you know, sub 10% body fat range, artificially reducing their sub-Q body fat, they tend to get certain things about their body. They get this square boxy look to their torso, and they end up with what looks like a distended stomach that I suspect is actually an increase in visceral fat because the body's trying to compensate for the lack of sub-Q fat. Now, no one's done any research on this. This is just me putting together the liposuction study and what I see in the physiques of some modern bodybuilders.
Yeah. And it's... So I don't know about the regulation part, but I can tell you that there are patients who genetically don't make fat, and I can tell you from watching some models, I believe that some models actually fall into this category, that's called lipodystrophic.
Uh-huh.
And so if you don't have any fat on your body, it turns out what you get is the worst elements of the metabolic syndrome. Because one thing that fat does for you is having some fat is it's a safe place to store calories.
Yes.
And if you don't have that safe place to store calories, those calories go to your liver and to your muscle, where they interfere with normal biological function. So these folks with lipodystrophy, lack of the ability to make body fat, actually end up quite ill. They have very high circulating lipids. They have poor liver function. They often have diabetes.
Very, very interesting.
So it's not always being at the other end of the spectrum isn't a guarantee of being healthy.
Okay, Dr. Seely, talk about the research. So how did you perform this research? Was this a meta-analysis, or did you guys actually do a study specifically?
So this is the paper that appeared in Science last Friday is actually a perspectives piece where we took together research that we had done and research that's been being done in other laboratories across country and put it together to try to make this argument that food is really like a hormone and that we need to understand that our bodies are listening to what we eat and that we can do much more in terms of understanding what the best things are for people to eat, both individually, like how is Joe different than Jane, but also collectively in terms of what it is we're trying to do with the diet. If what we understand is that we're trying to turn on or turn off receptors in the same way that we do with hormones, the same day we would do with drugs, we have the power using our nutrition to be able to turn on and off some of these same processes. And let me give you one really interesting example. So most of your listeners have probably heard the ability for diets that are high in omega-3 fatty acids to be associated with better cardiovascular health. And omega-3
yes.
fatty acids come in a variety of fishes. So we've known that for a long time, that a diet rich with omega-3 fatty acids was better for you, but we had no idea why. Until recently, a researcher by the name of Jerry Olefsky at University of California, San Diego, found that there is a receptor for omega-3 fatty acids. And that receptor is on tissues that are associated with inflammation. So when you turn on that receptor, you actually turn down inflammation. So one of the problems for obesity is that you increase the rates of inflammation. And by turning it down, you actually help counteract some of the negative effects of obesity. But it's not because just eating the omega-3 fatty acids are processed different. It's not because it's fat. It's because it turns on that receptor.
And now, do you happen to know if that receptor is FAF, FAF? I'm just curious.
No, it's a receptor called GPR120.
Oh, yeah.
And what's interesting about all, it turns out that there's a ton of these things that are called G-protein-coupled receptors.
Right.
These are a particular flavor of receptors. And it turns out there's a whole cast of them called orphan G-protein-coupled receptors, which means we don't know what it is that turns them on or off inside the body. And it turns out what we've been finding out over and over again, that with these ones that we haven't been able to figure out what they do, most of them respond to something that we eat,
yeah.
either a specific amino acid, a specific carbohydrate, or a specific fatty acid.
Okay, let's do this. Let's take our first commercial break. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit about amino acids for a second. We're talking with Dr. Randy Seely from the University of Cincinnati. Perhaps they have discovered an alternative to designing the optimal human diet. This is really, really important stuff. Because everybody out there wants to be a diet guru today, but they may not be telling you how to be healthy while you're shedding body fat and building muscle. Let's face it, that is ultimately the most important factor. Because who wants to look good in a coffin? Okay? Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
Are you in the midst of cutting body fat? Feel exhausted when it's time to train but don't want to use pre-workout drinks because they're loaded with sugar and carbs? Ice V2 is here to help you get intense while carbohydrate depleted. Ice V2 has only 1 gram of non-sugar carbs per serving. Ice V2 is loaded with strength amplifying anabolic activators that will make your workouts more productive while allowing you to cut the fat. Cut the fat. Loaded with amino acids, Ice V2 contains the unique Formel Norvaline that acts as a pump amplifier. Get Ice V2 today at XFMuscle.com.
I usually avoid protein bars because they're generally just candy in disguise.
days. But that's all changed now. With Quest protein bars, we can enjoy dessert again without the guilt. With 20 grams of whey isolate protein, tons of prebiotic fiber, no sugar added, and only 2 to 6 grams of active carbohydrates per bar, Quest bars will keep you full and lean. I've never endorsed a protein bar before because I simply didn't trust them. That's all changed with the Quest bar. Not just because of what's in them, but more so for what's not. Go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Quest protein bar banner ad. Start enjoying dessert again.
My friends are always asking me what I do to keep my face so youthful and fresh looking. I use RG Cell Super Stem Cell Support. RG Cell is the only cosmeceutical with penetrating anti-aging messenger molecules that activate old and dormant stem cells to restore your skin to a healthier, younger appearance. This helps to repair DNA, stimulate new cell growth, and aggressively eliminate wrinkles. You can learn more by visiting superhumanradio.com and clicking the RG Cell banner ad today.
You train hard. You push the limits of your body every day, and sometimes pain pushes back. Now silence your pain with Phoenix Kinetocream. Kinetocream is made using a perfect blend of natural ingredients and reduces inflammation and shuts down pain with its very first use. Listen to what one user said about Phoenix Kinetocream.
Training made me ache. My back, my shoulders, even my elbows. I rub Kinetocream on my shoulders, and in minutes, I could feel the pain go away. Not covered up by that freezing feeling like other creams. The pain was gone.
You can learn more about Kinetocream by visiting PhoenixBioPerformance.com. Don't let pain slow you down. Rise above the ashes with Phoenix Kinetocream. That's PhoenixBioPerformance.com.
No other peptide supplier has a more complete offering than Southern Research Companies. And no other peptide supplier can boast that all their research peptides are manufactured inside the United States in Tier 1 labs. Whether you're looking for IGF-1 Long R3, GHRP6, GHRP2, Melanotan-2, Mechanical Growth Factor, or PT-141, or hard-to-find peptides like Triptorelin or Follistatin, you'll find them at Southern Research Companies. Free shipping on orders over $150. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Southern Research banner ad today and do business with the most trusted name in research peptides, Southern Research Companies.
Your radio just got ripped. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Super Human Radio. We're talking with Dr. Randy Seely. We're talking about something very important. It's not easy. It's not as simple as how much fat, how much protein, how much carbs. There's more to it than that. Dr. Seely, your group talks about specific amino acids. Why don't we address amino acids found in proteins for a moment?
Yeah, so many of your listeners will be familiar with the idea that how protein helps you build bigger muscles and bigger cells involves a signaling protein called mTOR.
Right.
And mTOR is turned on by a amino acid in particular called leucine.
Right.
So not every protein turns on that pathway in the same way. Branched chain amino acids like leucine are particularly powerful to turn on that particular signaling pathway. Well, it turns out that signaling pathway has lots of different roles. So one thing it does is to guide cell growth, and it helps you make bigger cells. But in the brain, it turns out that same pathway is a fuel sensor, which means that when amino acids get to your brain, they turn on a pathway that says, by the way, you have enough fuel. And so it also turns down appetite at the same time.
Right.
And the point about that is it isn't just a matter of picking any protein to do this. Your body is listening specifically for leucine in order to be able to push along these biological processes.
And so paying attention to protein sources that have a high leucine content and then having a per meal amount of it, for instance. I know there's a lot of discussion that we've had on this show that for the mammalian target of rapamycin, mTOR, mm-hmm. To increase muscle, that 3 grams of leucine in a meal seems to be the requisite starting point, if you will, to trigger that cascade. We also know that leucine interacts with serotonin receptors in the brain when taken before exercise and can help stave off fatigue. It's interesting because these things that we really don't pay a lot of attention to overall in the mainstream diet formulation segment, mm-hmm. in the sports
nutrition area. Many of us are very, very aware of this, and we've, you know, been using these things to kind of, for lack of better terms, trick our bodies or get our bodies to do the things that we want them to do. How does leucine tell us that we have adequate amounts of energy and affect satiety? Do you know which way that works?
Absolutely. So we had published a paper in Science back in 2005, in which we showed that when you gave leucine directly into the brain of rodents, you could reduce their food intake. And the reason that you did that was because you increased the activity of the mTOR pathway in a very specific region of the brain called the hypothalamus. And the hypothalamus is important for regulating all sorts of aspects of your homeostasis. But one of the things is trying to figure out to make sure that you're eating adequately in order to maintain sufficiently high levels of stored calories so that you can survive to the next meal, you can survive through the next famine. And part of how it knows how much fuel you have has to do with its sensing of those fuels, such as leucine. And again, leucine is special. It turns on that pathway when other amino acids don't. And Isn't it a wonderful thing to think that our bodies are listening that carefully to what we're eating? And the point of I always try to make is, what are you telling it? And how do we figure out, how do we use science to better understand what it is that we want to tell our bodies?
And I love that.
This idea that we're going to have these particular receptors we're going to turn on or off makes it much easier to think about how you would design a diet scientifically. It sounds like, again, many folks in your community have stumbled into these ideas without knowing why or how it actually works. And what I'm doing now is trying to understand better how the body listens to these foods so that we can systematically make diets that lead to better outcomes.
You know, there's another side to this equation that needs to be considered as well. We talk about on this show job one. As a species, we have one job, and that's to have offspring and die. And nothing is more important than that, and everything is secondary to that. And that is, thousands of years of evolutionary selection pressure has made our bodies perfect for this one job, and we accommodate, and we adjust, and we move on. And muscle, while it is required for the journey, is also seen, if it gets out of hand, as a deficit, because let's face it, muscle is metabolic currency. It burns calories. And if you have too much muscle, then you're going to die in the next famine really, really fast, where the person who is has a lower metabolic rate or an adjustable metabolic rate down can survive, perhaps. So the other thing that comes into mind when you said how leucine, adequate amounts of leucine, you know, through the mTOR pathway seem to also increase satiety, that may actually be a negative feedback loop, not a positive feedback loop. And what I mean by that, it may be saying to the body, look, you've stimulated mTOR, we're building some muscle, we don't want to get this out of control, so let's shut down hunger.
Yeah. So I think that's a reasonable way to think of it, that the system has lots of different goals, and you're right, part of this is to procreate. And the reality about procreation is that having stored calories in the form of fat is highly evolutionarily advantageous.
Yeah.
It lets us get through the next famine in a way. As long as you don't become too slow and too tasty so that you become a target of other predators, having more body fat has lots of evolutionary advantage. And so your brain has built very careful systems to try to keep adequate amounts of body fat. So let me give you an example. So most of your listeners are aware you're going to consume about 900,000 calories in a year.
Okay.
That means that if you're steady weight, if you're not losing extra body fat or gaining extra body fat, you're going to eat 900,000 and you're going to burn 900,000.
Okay.
Now let's imagine you wanted to gain just 1 pound of body fat. Well, that means that what you'd have to do is consume 904,000 calories and burn 900,000. It's only 4,000 calories that a pound of body fat represents. And think about that in terms of an error term. You know, most of your listeners are within a pound of what they were last year on a running average. And so that means they're within 0.4% of matching their intake to their expenditure. Even worse, do the math backwards and say, well, how many calories is that a day? And that is, it's 11 calories a day. So most people, including most obese individuals, by the way, are within 11 calories a day of matching perfectly their caloric intake to their caloric expenditure. That's not an accident. That isn't just voluntary behavior. That is the body very carefully making sure that you're matching your intake to expenditure over time. And part of how it does that is to monitor the levels of these fuels, to monitor how much body fat you have through hormones like leptin. It's a very carefully orchestrated activity that the body has that allows you to survive those famines.
Okay, so now let's go back to your research for a second. What is this meal telling your body, okay? One of the earliest studies to look at the effects of specific macronutrients in an isocaloric diet and their effect to building body fat was done by Kekwich and Pawan, I want to say in the 20s, I could be wrong, where they took three groups of women and they fed them each a specific number of calories that was set in stone, and they said, but you have to get 80% of your calories from fat, 80% from carbohydrates, and 80% from protein. It was a very difficult study because the women had a hard time sticking. The fat group had the hardest time sticking to it because of eating, you know, such large amounts of fat. But nonetheless, what came from the study was that the only group that gained body fat was the carbohydrate group. So with that being said, the body is not only looking at those calories that you point out, but it's also looking at foods that signal the body to either create more body fat or maintain that level of body fat. Because clearly, if that person was to eat 900,000 calories of nothing but pure sugar, they probably would not be just, you know, 0.4% away from the year before in body fat.
Well, it's interesting that you raised this research about the macronutrients. You said the women who were on eating the 80% fat were having a hard time. I'm trying to imagine the poor women who had 80% protein. Because that in the 20s, that couldn't have been fun.
Yeah, that's right. They didn't have whey protein powder back then.
Exactly. So they couldn't just slip it into a shake.
Right.
I think the point is, it isn't so much that if you control the exact number of calories, the format that you give the body of which ones you get doesn't have as nearly as big an effect on weight as you might think. But what does matter is if you give somebody a meal of fat or a meal of carbohydrate, let's use carbohydrate as the example, the question is, what do they eat at the next meal and the meal after? And how big of an effect does that have on what they voluntarily take in? So what turns out to be sometimes thought of as a macronutrient effect, that is, the different ability of your body to metabolize and store fat, protein, carb, is really about the signaling elements, including in the brain, that tell you whether you should eat more or less in the future. So it's how the macro. So I'll give you an example of this. So we did work on a receptor called PPAR gamma. Mm-hmm. PPAR gamma is found in fat cells, and it's really important to be turned on in order to make normal fat cells. And it's turned on by specific fatty acids. But what we found out is that, again, in the brain, the ability to turn on PPAR gamma led to increased food intake and increased body weight, which means that when your body was listening to you consume those particular kinds of fats, what it did was say, oh, this is really a rich source. Let me make more adipose tissue so I can store it.
Right.
And then also let my brain be hungrier so that I'm going to go out and hunt and gather more food in order to put away more stored fuel in that adipose tissue.
Because the body sees that, assumes you came upon this rich source and it's not going to be here forever. So let's get as much of it as we can now, this big boon here of
this
fat.
Exactly. And so we know that, you know, we get into this issue about whether fats or carbohydrates are causing and driving the obesity epidemic. But certainly in situations where you have plenty of carbohydrate and then add lots of saturated fats to your diet, people tend to weigh more. And that's true in animals as well. And part of the reason is because your body's listening to that food and your brain is as well and saying, yeah, this is a good time to store. So let's go ahead and finish off the whole plate and store.
Okay, I want to take a break. And when we come back, I want to go a little bit deeper into this notion because it was many, many years ago that I started to learn about polyphasic diets and food combining, which are relatively new to our species as a result of civilization and agricultural breakthroughs and animal husbandry and so on and so forth. We're talking right now with Dr. Randy Seeley from the University of Cincinnati about a better way, a better alternative to creating the perfect human diet that his group is working on now. And it's a very, very exciting research. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio.
New from Rob Riggish, author of The Blueprint and SHR's own Blueprint Power Hour, comes The Blueprint Bulletin. Every month, Rob delivers the absolute latest and greatest information right to your inbox. Everything's on the table, including training, diet, supplementation, gray market products, and more. This is a fantastic way to stay one step ahead of your competition and use these secrets to up your game. Go to theblueprintbulletin.com or click the Blueprint Bulletin banner ad on superhumanradio.com to get your free introductory issue. Go to theblueprintbulletin.com today.
Iron Mag Labs is the leading supplement company offering the most hardcore pro-anabolic supplements. Visit ironmaglabs.com and check out our top-selling products. Asta RX, Halo Extreme, Sinustain RX, E-Control RX, Decadrol Max, Ultra Male RX. Iron Mag Labs makes supplements that actually work. No hype, no BS, just real results. There's a reason you keep hearing about Iron Mag Labs. Come see what you're missing. Visit Iron Mag Labs at ironmaglabs.com for the most hardcore bodybuilding supplements.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936, wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
True Protein is now TrueNutrition.com. The company that gave you personalized protein blends has now expanded their offerings to include over 5,000 new products. Whether your interests are health and fitness, sports nutrition and supplements, or fitness gear and accessories, you'll find what you're looking for at TrueNutrition.com. Check out the new vegetarian and vegan product lines as well. Oh, and don't worry, you can still blend your own personal protein supplements with a full range of milk, whey, casein, beef, egg, rice and soy proteins. Check out TrueNutrition.com today.
Ladies, it's time to improve your sex drive with the Female Libido Supplement Patch. The patch contains both DHEA and oxytocin hormones, revving up your passionate side and putting you in a relaxing, loving mood. The continuous 8-hour time-release delivery assures that you are ready for that planned or unexpected occasion. Don't wait to enhance your sex drive. Go to superhumanradio.com and click on the banner ad. That's superhumanradio.com and click on the banner ad.
Save money and gain performance and health benefits with Way Natural USA. They are overstocked and having a blowout sale on 2.5 pound jugs of grass-fed whey. This awesome product comes from Amish-fed cows inside the USA. Way Natural USA is cold processed through the patented Chill-Rite method and comes with only 3 ingredients, grass-fed whey protein concentrate, organic flavor, and stevia. Save big. Just click the Way Natural USA banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Get a free sample plus a 15% discount with free shipping coupon product for the first 100 customers.
Build muscle, burn fat. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. In search of the perfect human diet. That's actually a documentary. But you know what? I don't think we have the answers yet. I think it's still unfolding. I think that you cannot discount the complexity of how food interacts with the body, then take into account with that caloric content, and the magic starts to unveil. Okay, so Dr. Seeley, it was first taught to me by Dr. Mauro Di Pasquale many, many years ago that as humans we were exposed to what is known as a polyphasic diet because of seasonality and region and so on and so forth, and that may actually play a role in some polymorphisms for some of us to be better digesters, if you will, of some foods over others. But another thing that came from this discussion was food combining. You know, when we were in the Paleolithic era, I doubt seriously that somebody came upon the carcass of an elk and said, you know what would go good with this? Some broccoli and some Brussels sprouts. Go out and get some and we'll sit here and we'll eat this together, right? And your point about the fatty acids proves that. The body goes, oh man, we have this in front of us. Let's eat lots of this right now. And so to coin your term, you know, the body is listening. What is your food telling it? What happens when we mix these foods together that perhaps never were designed to be mixed together? Is it not the crazy calliope sound of the Alfred Hitchcock horror movie that's playing to the body with all these different messengers that were never designed to be digested simultaneously?
Yeah, I think you're right. Mother Nature didn't design us to have a salad course.
Yeah, there you go. Right. Right.
And so the more we understand about the cocktail of hormones we're getting, the ability to turn on and off these signaling cues, the question is which ones get combined correctly and which ones at the right times as well. So one of the things you said is I think is really correct. We don't know yet today what the perfect diet would look like. And my guess is that part of our understanding of how we're turning on or off these different receptor systems with the food that we eat will tell us about how different individuals should be eating, because it's not going to be the same for everybody. And it may be the case that at different times of our lives, at different times of the year, and the way we should combine foods will be different depending on what it is that we're trying to achieve.
And you know, it's so important to learn from the body as opposed to trying to manipulate the body. Which, you know, it's that sounds like, well, yeah, of course, Carl, but we don't do this very often. And the reason I say this is because one of the things I've been thinking about is we talk about fat signatures. You know, some people carry their weight here, some people carry their weight there. But there's a reason for that. Nature, those people evolved under conditions where for some reason putting the fat in that area was critical to their survival.
Yeah.
And we just think, oh, well, I hate this. I carry my fat in my butt and my upper thighs, or, you know, I carry my fat in my upper back. It's like there's a reason for that. It happened thousands of years ago.
Yeah, and the easiest way to see that distinction is to look at males versus females. Males versus females have different biologies, and that's associated with very different body fat distributions. And you can see that very clearly if you look at obese 6 or 7 year olds. They look the same, but if you look at obese individuals who are 18 or 20, you can see how different they look, and that has a lot to do with how your endogenous hormones that define whether you're male or female drive body fat accretion in different locations. And you're right. We don't know why that occurs. We don't completely understand what the advantages are and why it is that our sex-specific hormones like estrogen and testosterone would push body fat in one direction or another in different locations.
Yeah, but there's definitely a reason. It wasn't just, oops, that's the way it ended up. The body is perfect. It's so intelligent. Okay, so
Going to hit one more point on that?
Yeah, please.
You said
please.
Again, about listening to the body in particular. So one of the ways that people try to lose weight is obviously just straight up caloric restriction.
Right.
I'm not going to change what I'm eating, but I'm just going to eat less of it. That is a very effective way to lose weight. If you can eat less than you burn, you'll lose weight. But you and I both know that's not very successful in the long run.
Right.
Because your body is fighting that. And it's fighting it in two very important ways. One is that it's going to try to make you hungrier. Right, so that it's going to be much more difficult for you to walk by the refrigerator and not open it and grab something to eat. And the second thing is that it turns down your metabolism. And people don't quite understand that because it's not just your body fat distribution. You're absolutely right that the more lean tissue you have, the more calories you're going to burn.
Right.
But if you're actively losing weight and losing body fat, your muscle actually becomes more efficient, meaning that it needs to burn fewer calories to do the same work.
Mm-hmm.
That is an active component of what your body does to help you hold on to the stored calories in the form of fat. And that's what people are fighting when they choose to try to lose weight simply by cutting calories and hoping that they can maintain it over time. It's not just a matter of willpower to be able to do that. It's you've got to be able to fight your biology rather than work with it. And part of these issues of the trying to design the appropriate diets is to make it so that you can consume a diet that will help you achieve particular health ends and work with your body to get there rather than fighting.
Well, do you have any glimpses for us yet at all as far as from the standpoint of are there things in our diet today that you can clearly say these are causing an increase in the insulinogenic response and the creation of new fat?
Yeah, this is very controversial stuff, and I have to say there is no clean, easy consensus from the scientific literature about it. One of the things that's amazing when you think about it is we are feeding 6 billion people on the planet. That is a product of an industrialized food supply. You couldn't feed 6 billion people without doing things to the food supply in order to be able to make it more efficient, be able to get things from one place to another. But all of that comes at a cost.
Right.
The problem is we don't know exactly what we've done to the food supply that has made it so much more likely for people to be obese and get diabetes. And if we could fix that, and we'd be much better off. And part of the hope of this research is that we're going to identify which parts, in terms of the micronutrients that are turning on and off these different receptors, are contributing to the fact that we now have obesity rather than malnutrition as the major problem that we face in the world today.
You know, I know that there's, but I have to say that a lot of the diabetes that we see today is tied to the refined carbohydrate intake and the insulinogenic response to that. Isn't that one of the things that we do know already? I mean, the people that are most obese are not eating high protein, high fat, paleolithic diets. They are eating the modern Western diet, which is, you know, hot pockets and waffles. I mean, I watch people. I see people at the restaurant that have carbohydrates with their carbohydrates with their carbohydrates and then a big glass of orange juice. It's like, where's the protein? Where's the fat? It's all, I mean, I can't think of his name now. He's with State University of New York, but they did a profound research study that showed that regardless of glycemic index, when you get past that 30 grams of carbohydrate in a single meal, that insulin spikes. And isn't that the magic where fat creation occurs with insulin?
So I think that this is it's certainly making fat is much more efficient when you have more insulin around. And obese individuals have more insulin than lean individuals, even at baseline, not even talking about what happens at meals.
Right.
But let me tell you something. So this has been a popular hypothesis and one that does have support. But let me give you the one or two counter arguments where I think that at least makes us think about what the role of the sugar driving insulin does in this dynamic.
Okay.
If you get bariatric surgery, so if you get a Roux-en-Y gastric bypass where
right.
you make a small stomach and then we move your, we bypass some of your upper intestine and have nutrients go straight into your, what's called your jejunum.
Straight into your diaper. I'm sorry. I had to say that. Go ahead.
So those patients lose weight. We can argue about whether that's a good way to lose weight, but they lose weight and their diabetes gets better.
Their energy expenditure goes up, and there seems to be a linkage between some gut hormones that seem to either increase as a result of the surgery or increase because of the size of the stomach. It's amazing.
So it's mostly has to do with the intestine. And yes, it's because, again, you are changing the conversation your body is having with the food. And the reason I bring that up, because your intestine is talking to your pancreas where you make insulin. And you know what happens in those patients? They have very high spiky insulin levels.
Huh.
So my point is that you can make somebody better even when you're driving up their insulin secretion to meals to be even higher. So it's not, from my personal
point
of view,
it's
not as cut and dry as like, which, no, just to back up for a minute. I certainly believe that taking refined carbohydrate out of your diet is probably a good idea. Reducing the amount of highly saturated fats and trans fats you have in your diet, also a good idea. But the point is, it isn't just as easy as saying, well, this is exactly the amount of carbohydrate we can have, and this is exactly the amount of fat we can have, because it depends on what kind. It depends on what's in terms of what you're turning on and off. And bariatric surgery is a really good example about that conversation that's going on between your organ systems.
Well, and you know what? I agree with you about the trans fats, but I disagree with you about saturated fat. We've done lots of good shows about saturated fat. There's a lot of research being done. You know, Dr. Joe Hiblin and lots of other scientists out there are looking at fats in a much more specific way. They're looking at omega-6s that interact with endocannabinoid receptors that affect arachidonic. I mean, the problem is, I would not want to be a scientist today because you can't say anything without saying six disclaimers after it. And, you know, like, saturated fat may not be the evil sister that we thought it was. And again, it comes back to saturated fats in combination with high glycemic index carbohydrates seem to produce the negative effects associated with saturated fats. So that goes back to my whole food combining discussion.
Yeah.
It's like, well, maybe saturated fats aren't so bad because clearly our ancestors survived with saturated fats. I mean, I remember my grandparents eating bacon and lard and everything like that. They never had heart disease.
Now, to be fair, they also didn't live as long. So,
oh, my grandfather lived to be 98? No. But my grandparents lived into the eighth and ninth decades of life.
Oh, well, fantastic
okay.
for
okay.
them.
Okay.
So, let me say, I agree with you about the point that is, we don't, the poor people who have to try to figure out what to do, I feel bad for them every day because they get a very mixed set of messages from the scientific community. And people should realize that's because we don't know everything.
Yeah.
And I think it's sometimes hard for scientists to admit that. But we don't know everything in terms of how to design the ideal diet and all of the ways it's having these impacts. And my point about this article was entirely to say, look, in addition to these things that we know about getting about what happens when we change how much fat versus how much carb versus how much protein we're taking, we're adding and subtracting all of these signaling elements out of the diet as we do that.
Right.
And sometimes we're doing it in ways that we don't understand. So, for instance, you know, in the 90s, when people went through this very determined version on terms of health public policy to lower saturated fat intake, what you got was when you told people not to eat saturated fats, what they ended up doing was substituting sometimes very highly refined carbohydrates.
Mm-hmm.
I remember walking through a store and seeing a bag of Twizzlers, and the bag of Twizzlers said, always been a low-fat food.
Yeah, I know, right? I know.
With the idea that because it says that it's healthier. And so I can understand why people get cynical about trying to use this advice in real ways.
Never mind, Dr. Seeley, never mind the fact that when they remove fat from certain foods, in order to create the same mouthfeel, they put in corn syrup, which is a sugar.
Yeah. And so this is my personal view is it's hard to be a food company too, because you obviously want to make stuff that tastes good, and you're responding to what people believe is healthy, even when in fact the data aren't there to drive it.
Yeah.
So if we could tell food companies more about what it is that they should be removing, both in terms of the macronutrients as well as the micronutrients they're turning on and off these receptors, we'd all be much better off because they'd want to do that to make it better, because it would be making for a better product and that people would want to have. And I think that's where we have to try to get to.
Have you looked at the ancestral diet movement, the paleo diet movement at all from your standpoint?
Yes, I mean, I certainly have read lots of various information on the internet and
Dr. Cordain and Rob Wolf and guys like that. Okay.
Yeah.
Now clearly the people who are using that approach are getting leaner. They seem to have a lot of the markers for ill health, being, mitigated. They seem to be reversing diseases. So while this is all anecdotal, there's a lot of anecdotal information out there that says we just need to return to more ancestral ways of eating, it's not just food choices, but foods that are prepared and animals that are raised and crops that are grown, before the soiling of our food chain occurred.
Yeah.
What do you think? What are your thoughts on that?
So, as I said before, we need to put it all in perspective, which is that very few people on this planet die of starvation because food isn't available. They
right.
die of starvation, but it's a political act, right? It's that somebody's not allowing the food to get to them.
Gotcha.
And that's a huge success that we can feed 6 billion people on the planet.
Right.
With that comes all sorts of things we've done to the food supply that have all sorts of potentially pernicious problems that are associated with them, and you've laid out a couple. Which ones are the most difficult? Are the most problematic that we should try to eliminate? The answer is we don't know.
Yeah.
I'll just give you one simple fact. Let's imagine we all wanted to eat what the current USDA version of what you should have for fruits and vegetables would look like in fresh fruits and vegetables. There isn't enough arid land to grow the fruits and vegetables. So many people listening to this, because we live in a rich country, have options. We can choose to eat in different ways.
Right.
But not everybody can do that. And right. So part of my job is to tell people who do have options what they can do, but also how do we build in changes that for the people who don't have those kinds of options, where, again, the industrialized food supply is central to being able to feed large nations.
Yeah.
And it's a difficult problem, and one that I think your listeners can understand as being central to what we want to be as a population 10 years from now, 15 years from now, 20 years from now. Do we want to keep having to deal with more and more obesity, diabetes, heart disease, or do we want to do something actively that will help restrict the progress of those diseases and make us healthier?
Yeah, no, I agree. All right, let's take our last commercial break. Stay with me. We're talking with Dr. Randy Seeley from the University of Cincinnati. The discussion continues to unfold on what the ideal human diet will be. But at least we have groups like the University of Cincinnati that are working on finding out some of this information. They're also not pounding their chests going, no, this is right, this is right. They're going, look, we're not sure yet. A lot of research has to be done, but let's start asking the right questions. And there's a lot of merit in that. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
If you want to outlast, outmuscle, and outperform your competition with a high-powered, stimulant-free carbohydrate source that has zero sugars, you want Carbolin. Carbolin is the original high-performance fuel that will allow you to load your muscles with glycogen in minutes instead of hours. As a pre, intra, and post-training supplement, it will give you a hardness and fullness to your muscles like you've never felt before. As an endurance supplement, Carbolin has been proven to increase VO2 max by 2.8%. If you want fast absorption and sustained energy without bloating or cramping, get Carbolin. Go to AAEFX.com today. Save money and gain performance and health benefits with Whey Natural USA. They are overstocked and having a blowout sale on 2.5-pound jugs of grass-fed whey. This awesome product comes from Amish-fed cows inside the USA. Whey Natural USA is cold-processed through the patented Chill-Rite method and comes with only three ingredients, grass-fed whey protein concentrate, organic flavor, and stevia. Save big. Just click the Whey Natural USA banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Get a free sample plus a 15% discount with free shipping coupon product for the first 100 customers. Superhuman Radio has the smartest and most dedicated health and fitness listeners found anywhere in the world. If you're trying to tap this market of greater than 50 million health fitness consumers, you simply can't do better than advertising on Superhuman Radio. Our sponsors tell us Superhuman Radio outperforms other forms of advertising time and time again. If you're tired of wasting valuable advertising dollars and need a new way to build your client base, go to superhumanradio.com and click on the Advertise with Us link. It just may be the best thing you have ever done for your business.
This time of year, it seems everyone's sick. You need to do everything you can to avoid it. A healthy immune system starts with a healthy lifestyle. This includes Altrient C. Altrient C delivers the vitamin C your body needs. In fact, Altrient delivers 200% more vitamin C than pills or powders. Go to AltrientC.com. That's AltrientC.com. It even comes with a money-back guarantee. For vitamin C that actually gets absorbed, go to AltrientC.com or call 888-437-6353 to order. That's 888-437-6353. Altrient C, 21st Century Vitamin C.
Your radio just got ripped. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. So, Dr. Seeley, we have clinicians and scientists that listen to the show. We have average people who are just as intelligent as clinicians and scientists. What do you want them to take away from this research?
I hope they can take away hope. And what I mean by that is that we really understand something now that we didn't understand before about how our bodies are interacting with our food. And by that understanding, our ability to push diets along that give people better outcomes is not only possible, I think it's likely. Let me give you one other example about
Please.
How our bodies are interacting with our food. Most of your listeners probably know that inside your GI tract are trillions of bacteria.
We've done so many. That's my new bongo drum, the microbiome and its importance. Oh man, we started with the Amish gut study, and we just moved on forward. It's just amazing.
Isn't it amazing? And the point about that is what we eat, how we eat it, and the ways we combine it, which is something that you had been talking about, is going to have an impact on which bacteria species live in our GI tract.
Right.
And it turns out those bacteria are talking to our bodies as well. So again, our ability to be able to have really profound impacts on the way our body function by pushing the diets in the right direction and being able to personalize them for different people is we're closer to that now than we ever have been. Do we have all the answers? Not even close. But the ability to start making this research matter for what happens with people is getting closer every day.
You know what's really interesting, and I've said this, and my audience is going to shake their head and go, Carl, we know this already, but I say it often enough because it really is, it's so profound, we take it for granted. The digestive system is the core of our immune system. We've heard that before, okay? But no better representation than the sophistication and efficiency of our immune system, that we can take a piece of dead animal flesh, chew it and swallow it. It doesn't kill us. We digest it. We extract from it all the things we need, and we get rid of what we don't, and it doesn't even make us sick. I mean, you know, when you think about, we talk about, oh, you know, so and so got sick. He came in contact with some sort of foreign, you know, thing, and it gave him a, you know, every day we put things in our mouth purposefully and swallow them, and they don't make us sick. Do you realize how amazing that is? I don't think people realize it.
No, I agree with you. So we talk about what happens when E. coli breaks out, you know, when people's meat supply gets exposed.
Right.
But we're still talking about it's a very small minority of the people who get sick, even when you introduce a toxin like that.
Right.
And that's because your GI tract does this masterful job of doing two things at the same time. One is to absorb all the calories. It's very efficient at getting all of the calories and other things out of your food. But at the same time, it's also only letting out the calories at a slow rate so the rest of your body can handle it at the right pace. And it's keeping you from getting all the other stuff that you don't want in your body out and making sure it goes out the other end.
Amazing.
It's an exquisite and unbelievable organ. And again, it's talking to the rest. It's talking to your brain. It's talking to your liver. It's talking to your pancreas. It's talking to your muscle. And that orchestra, when it's finely tuned with the right foods at the right times, is a beautiful orchestra to listen to. And when you get it out of whack, even a little bit, that's where you end up with obesity and diabetes.
And it's the only open system in the body that is actually, when you could, I mean, you could say this, it's a kind of a stretch, it's external of the body. Because the openings of it are both out in the world, your mouth and your butt. And so it's like, it's really amazing. The digestive system has been just taken for granted for so long, and we're seeing the problems with it now. We see a lot. The etiology of a lot of diseases begins in the gut, so
absolutely.
it's really amazing.
And we're understanding more and more about how that etiology occurs in terms of the GI tract, but also how we can use the GI tract to understand things better and make it better. Just an example: bariatric surgery helps people lose weight and helps their diabetes. The more we understand about how it does that, the more our ability is to be able to do that without
bariatric surgery.
Over.
Right.
Exactly.
Right. Wonderful, wonderful stuff. Listen, Dr. Seely, thanks so much for being on the show today.
I enjoyed it immensely.
Take care.
Thank you.
All right, so there you have it. Great show. Also, thanks to Dr. Tom Levy. His website, what did I do with the paper? I think it's peakwellness.com. We'll make sure right now. But and talking about liposomal vitamin C, and obviously, peakenergy.com. I'm sorry. So thanks to Dr. Tom Levy. His book, Curing the Incurable, is worth getting for anybody out there who is challenged or has a family member being challenged. Check it out. Thanks for listening to Superhuman Radio today. We'll see you tomorrow with another episode. It's Tuesday. Look forward to the Blueprint Power Hour.
This is the Superhuman Channel, where we use oxygen for the power of good.
The following paid program does not...